never would have come out the other side, you basically undamaged. Now, I tried to look for those pictures last night of the pictures of the nose cone coming through the front of the trade towers, and all that's been scrubbed off the internet. And I guess they realized that whoever did the AI or the, you know, the automatic degeneration on that made a huge mistake on that, because that's simply not possible. And then so this plane flies into the trade towers and blows up into flames, and then we find passports at the bottom of the trade towers of those known hijackers. That entire scenario has so many holes in it, it's unbelievable. And quite frankly, I think that a lot of this stuff is what Judy Wood said it would, that we had a directed energy weapon from space that did a lot of the damage here. And do we have audio yet? Do we have video yet? Okay. And so, which camera? Well, there. Oh, I've got a camera. How great. So I personally believe that Judy Wood was probably right. She was a structural engineer from Clemson. And she said that there was really no impact with planes into the trade towers. That preset explosives had gone off. And we were watching, basically, artificial intelligence or whatever you want to call it, footage of the entire incident and what happened. I had a friend of mine who worked up there. He's a Fulbright colonel. He was in the military then. Very, very wealthy man up in New York City. And I asked him a simple question that he did not answer, refused to answer it. I said to him, because these planes supposedly came in at 500-600 miles an hour into the trade towers. And I asked him, I said, did you hear engines roaring on these jets when they flew over you? That's a pretty simple question. I mean, because you hear jet planes, you hear them all the time. They're loud. And he had no comment, he said. He didn't say a word, did not answer my question. So that's pretty nuts when you think about it. So when I see this report of this plane hitting a fire truck and the entire front of the plane is gone, how in the world did the nose cone of the aircrafts on 9/11 all go all the way through the steel structures in the middle of 9/11 and pop out undamaged on the
tarmac? I was working on thinking, did it hit him on the tarmac?
On the runway.
Hit him on the runway and it took the whole front of it off.
No, yeah. Well, he was 150 miles an hour. But these planes that hit the trade towers were running 500-600 miles an hour, we were told. And so the whole thing with 9/11, if you watch the movie Loose Change or watch 9/11 Mysteries, either one of those, and I know this is ancient history, that's a quarter of a century ago, but this is still very relevant. David Icke wrote a book, it's called The Trigger. And I agree with about 80% of what David Icke says because he's not a Christian, but a lot of what he says is very, very true. And he said that the trigger to the entire global problem that we have right now was basically Israel and Mossad doing 9/11. Now, that's, I'm paraphrasing what he said. Those are not the words he used. But he said it was what started the entire the descent into tyranny that we have right now with the military-industrial complex.
Well, he's right. DHS was formed. Hmm? Homeland Security was formed. It didn't exist. TSA was formed. It didn't exist. Patriot Act was put into law. Never existed. There were a dozen different things, if you look back, on how they were precipitated after 9/11.
Well, that's the one book that David Icke wrote that I want everybody to read. And here's the interesting thing. I had a person that I knew, she's Jewish, up in North Carolina, and she basically loved David Icke, right? And I said, if you love David Icke so much, why don't we go ahead and read the book, The Trigger, which points directly at Israel. Boy, I tell you what. That relationship, friendship, or whatever you want to call it, ended like that. Because that book straight calls Israel out for what happened with 9/11 and what happened with the trade towers and everything else with Mossad. And quite frankly, I believe it's all the same people. It's always the same people that do all of this stuff. It's the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. They're the same ones that took over Israel. They're the same ones that reformed Israel. And they're the same ones that suppressed the truth to the Israelis also. Because remember, a lot of Israelis took the COVID shot too. And a lot of Israelis have been very, very sick from it. So be very, very careful in what you believe. But, Judy Wood did that book, that, Where Did the Towers Go? And she said a lot of it was due to a directed energy weapon that came from outer space. And they were using a storm there's a hurricane right off the coast out there, about 50, 60 miles. And they were using the energy, she said, from that to power this thing up and generate enough energy to basically, she called it molecular disassociation, to cause the trade towers to be microwaved to a point where they started coming apart. And she said that's the reason people were jumping out of the windows and killing themselves, because they were being cooked inside out like a microwave oven would do. So I recommend that you all read that book, Where Did the Towers Go? Because she said that the amount of debris that hit the ground was not nearly the amount of debris that should have been on the ground from the towers, because they were basically they were basically vaporized from the molecular weapon that was used. So I thought it was very, very interesting. I've done a lot of shows on that before, so I don't want to go into it today. But again, when you're on an airplane and you've got air traffic control, like I remember one time I was coming in for a landing in Lakeland, and we had winds coming right down, 20 knot crosswinds, on the runway they asked me to land on. Then another runway we had direct headwinds, and I asked them, I said, I need to use the other runway. They said, fine. The pilot, his pilot in command controls what happens on that aircraft. And, you know, and sometimes you can't obey. One of my questions that they asked me when I was taking my pilot exam, if the people in Lakeland ask you to land short on a runway because it's an active runway, somebody landing on it, on another runway, would you do it? And I said, absolutely not. There's not enough room to stop the plane. And I may run into a jet landing. And I said, not going to do it. And he looked at me and said, you're the only person that's ever got that answer right. You're it. The only one. Because I told him I wouldn't do it. I said, that's the whole thing is when you, but when someone's cutting across the runway in a fire truck and you're coming in for a landing and you've already slowed down enough that you can't get back up to speed, there's a problem, Austin. And LaGuardia is a nightmare. And Newark's just as bad. And quite frankly, all of these airports, they need to take a look at it. Now they're bringing ICE agents, Austin, in because TSA's not there. And yesterday, did you see the video of the ICE agent arresting the girl trying to leave the country because she was there illegally? She tried to get on a plane to leave and they arrested her and her kid.
Well, you can see now, unfortunately, as much as what we were expecting, we got nothing to what we expected as far as with this, you know, no more immigration, no more illegal stuff here. You're having TSA that's going around now and basically trying to pick off, if not even the low-hanging fruit, they're trying to pick off the fruit that's on the ground. You know what I mean? It's getting obscene. But you've noticed now this current trend with a lot of law enforcement is that, and I'm not picking on all of them, but you see this across the board now. And I've had numerous people tell me this in person. I've talked to law enforcement. I've seen it firsthand. I've seen a lot of issues that have been going on currently in the last year. And there's this big disruption and there's this change now where because law enforcement has been getting so much autonomy over the years, and I understand the job's extremely difficult in most cases. They got to deal with a lot of stuff. I understand. I got a lot of friends in law enforcement, but there's this big divergence now almost across the board unilaterally with almost all law enforcement that they're becoming this point where they're no longer about protecting and serving the community. It's all about intimidation and control and manipulation in order to increase budgetary increases so they can justify.
Oh, I've seen it so many times.
Yes, they can justify their own existence. Oh, if you guys hit these amount of numbers on traffic citations, we're going to get a whole new fleet of cars for you. Heard it the other day now. Oh, well, if you guys can do this amount of number on it, we're going to get the best person with the most amount of tickets. They're going to get a new fleet vehicle. Happens. And then it escalates down with these ICE agents. Oh, you're going to get a $50,000 signing bonus. You do anything we tell you to do. Well, you got a lot of these people that have signed up. Now, I told you guys, normal training for ICE used to be, I think, 24 weeks or 18 weeks with a whole type of military background. Now it's like 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You're going, oh, you're a federal ICE agent. I mean, we're not talking about they're a cop. These guys are federal agents now. And they're running around with pretty much full autonomy of the U.S. government to do anything they want at any point in time. And that's what you're starting to see unilaterally across with a lot of law enforcement. And exactly what you just said, 9/11 was a precursor to this. You look back at a lot of the old law enforcement style and status, it was about being part of the community. It was about supporting the community instead of actually
serve and protect.
Serve and protect. Instead of sitting around trying, I mean, and we see this now all the time. In Florida, especially like on I-4 with Highway Patrol, they're sitting around in literally clusters to pull people over for doing 7 or 8 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour over the speed limit, so they can write all these tickets in one day. But then you hear about all the time, well, this child was abducted, and this 14-year-old gone missing, and this happened here, and this happened. Well, no, we're enforcing the law. You know, somebody was doing 78 and a 70, we're giving them a ticket. The level of unaccountability now with a lot of these groups is by far obscene. And so I think that's the problem. And now we've got this exposure. And I saw this the other day. I was talking to a cop, and he basically had his laptop. They were looking at it, and he was getting all these hits off tags. Car photo, front of the car, back of the car, tag car. And I was asking, I said, what is going on with all this? We were having a conversation with a few people, and he goes, oh, that's a flock. He goes, just verbatim while I'm looking at this come through. And he goes, oh, that's flock. He goes, all the major intersections in Polk County now have tag readers to take a photo of the front of your car, the back of your car, the side of your car, and identifying objects on the car, including bumper stickers. They run it through an AI algorithm. It doesn't matter of milliseconds. Anything associated with that car, an accident, a suspended driving license, insurance that's lapsed, any of it that's a flag, automatically sends it to the closest responding officers in the area, and it does in the matter of milliseconds with AI. And I said, that's a bit invasive, isn't it? He goes, well, it's so we can do our job, so we can enforce the law. I said, so basically it's recording everybody all the time, everything they do. He said, yeah, but you don't have an expectation of privacy while you're out in public. That's how they've justified this. And I'm like, wow, we really are starting to watch Minority Report, where you have law enforcement, instead of actually going after kids that are being abducted. I mean, we saw the emails.
I got to say something here. Forgive me for interrupting you. This makes me mad because, I mean, we have these people stopping and picking up and stealing children all the time.
Why can't they seem to find all the kids that go missing.
We've got people dealing crack, dealing dope, dealing everything.
Fentanyl.
But yet we have to go after a person who has an expired tag.
Or driving on a suspended license or driving with insurance lapse. And as I looked at it, because I was talking to a bunch, and I said, you know, this is getting kind of bizarre where it's like, and it's exactly what ICE is doing. Instead of actually going after systems and problems and drug dealers and criminals and child molesters, it's like they're slowly going down the list of what's the easiest, most revenue-generating issue to look at and not go after anything else. And that's why I said earlier, everything's coming about how much cash can we generate for this department instead of how can we do a positive influence. Why is it we can find every single person that has expired insurance on the road within a matter of milliseconds, but we can't seem to find any time these kids go missing? Or when, you know, Orange County comes out and says, we found 160 kids in this FBI sting. You didn't find any of them before? You have all these tag readers, all this invasive privacy maneuvers, all these things we're doing, but you can't seem to find anybody.
Well, that's dangerous. You know, grandma has her insurance expired. She's 70 years old.
Yeah.
It's easier to pull her.
That's exactly right.
I remember years ago, I was up in Tennessee, and I was on some back road.
Yeah.
And the speed limit was like, I don't know, 55, 60 or whatever it was. And I remember I came up to this car. We came up a hill. There's a truck in front of us. He's doing like 20 miles an hour, right? And so I thought, okay. So I waited until I got to the top of the hill, made sure I could see.
Yeah.
And I went around him, but then on top of the hill, speed limit dropped down to 30 miles an hour.
Oh, they like doing that. You got to be careful in the mountains.
No. And I didn't know that. And so I passed him. Oh, yeah. So I'm doing like the speed limit, like 55.
In a 30 now.
Yeah, but now it's
now
30.
It's 25 over.
And it changed at the top of the hill. Jeez. For no reason. With no double yellow lines, because they knew then that you'd be passing somebody who'd gone uphill. Boom. A guy pulls me over. Oh, this is my favorite spot. Blah, blah, blah. Well, I end up getting a ticket. I'm having to pay for it. I'm having to get an attorney. I mean, unbelievable. And then what happened is I go by the precinct. And it's this huge stone building worth millions of dollars, all covered in, I mean, the place is beautiful. It looks like a Taj Mahal. And that's how they paid for that. And I thought to myself, great. And then I talked to my attorney. And he says, well, I don't think you understand, Ted. He goes, the women in the courthouse run the judge. I said, what? He goes, yeah, it's whatever they want. And they want maximum revenue. And I said, well, so I couldn't even get the points, you know, waived. Because it was one of, and I mean, I had to pay the attorney. He couldn't get it done. And so the whole thing was like a little clique,
yep.
This little neighborhood that was using it. Same thing is true. We have another little town close to us. They like to sit on blind corners, change speed limits, not tell anybody.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They don't even post a new speed limit. You run into a corner. It's got a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit right past the corner. It's supposed to be 45 miles an hour like it always was. Suddenly somebody takes the 45-mile-an-hour sign down. And now you're doing, you know, 45 and a 45. But it wasn't 45 anymore. It's 30 now. But you don't know that because there's no sign. And so now they pull you over, you know, chase you down, almost cause a collision chasing you. Yeah, we got you now. Why don't you get the child molester?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Well, what is wrong with you? And the problem that I have and all I see coming on all the time is that we're using these military-type situations with common law enforcement now. I remember we used to have on the squad cars here in Auburndale to serve and protect.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't there anymore. That's gone. And Auburndale's not as bad as some of the other cities around here, but they hang out behind. And you know, I would feel so awful if all I did was hung around a blind corner and ticket people who.
I've thought about that too. I'm like, did you know the level of just like compromising your integrity? You're law enforcement. You are to force the law, and what you do, you sit around corners, and wait for people to come out.
It's like you're selling dope on the other side of the orange tree or something.
Yeah,
like, oh, come here, little kid.
Well, my question is so. You know, you got somebody that's doing 45 and a 30 now. Well, where's the victim?
Well, and here's the other
problem.
There's
nobody on the road.
And what happens to the person doing the speed limit, which used to be the speed limit, all of a sudden they got their kids in the car, too.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, now you're stopped, you're questioned, now you're basically ridiculed in front of your own children. You're like, and what it does, it only teaches the children to disrespect law.
That's exactly right.
That's all it does. It doesn't make the children want to respect the law. But let's get off that. Who stands to benefit the most from the U.S.-Israel war on Iran? And I'm going to change that headline. Who stands the most to benefit from the Israel-U.S. war on Iran?
There you go.
You know, globalists are waiting in wings with their Agenda 2030 sustainable development and digital control grid. Now, he says a lot of things in here, and I'm going to go ahead and say some of this stuff because it's going to be pretty good. you know, we have to realize that we have a lot of economic upheavals happening in the war right now because of the Straits of Hormuz. And then he says, look who was in office and look what happened during COVID pandemic of 2020. With Trump at the helm of the most powerful nation on earth, we ended up with a toxic mRNA vaccine, Operation Warp Speed, under a military regime called Operation Warp Speed. It killed off millions of people, left other millions with debilitating injuries from the vaccine. The same man in office now, and look what is happening less than 4 weeks into a war he decided to launch, despite there being no immediate threat of harm to America. Now he's implying that it was Hegseth's idea to do this, by the way. Less than 4 weeks in, Iran is winning by doing exactly what it said it would do before Trump pulled the trigger. They said they would close the Strait of Hormuz while unleashing their massive missile arsenal not only on Israel, which is America's partner in the war, but on Gulf oil states that host U.S. military bases. That's the reason they've been hitting all these other Gulf War states, because they're the ones who are holding the U.S., hosting the military bases. Trump may have launched the war on the belief the U.S. empire was waning and he needed to give it a boost by making it show American military strength. If that's the case, he chose the wrong country to attack. Iran has been prepared for this war for 30 years, that it has a decentralized military structure and it actually has a strategy to defeat the U.S. It's focused on spreading economic pain throughout the world until the U.S. relents and backs off its regime change plans. Given its geography next to the Strait of Hormuz, Iran is perfectly positioned to deal a humiliating defeat to the United States empire, exposing it as a paper tiger. Trump made a terrible mistake miscalculating invading Iran, and the war has not been quick and easy as he promised it would be. As many of us warned back in December, including yours truly and Austin and I, and in January, including all of us, this conflict has the hallmarks of being a long, drawn-out Vietnam-type war of attrition, exactly the kind of war that America's military is not well positioned to endure. And he said, Trump did this week, that he is not scared of another Vietnam war. Just thought I'd mention that. Trump said that, yeah.
Oh,
we do not have a strong supply line or the type of industrial base that could win in a war of attrition. We have a military that's been built on shock and awe. That's an absolute fact. Blitzkrieg. Technology, quick and devastating strikes from the air and sea, but modern warfare has changed in a country with unlimited access to cheap drones and advanced hypersonic missiles, and its position to control the world's most critical waterway is not easily defeated. And now Trump is still preparing a ground invasion of Iran. The first big clue, despite all the rosy synopsis given by Trump and his Fox News influencers, turned War Secretary Pete Hegseth, this war is not going well at all. Iran, for record, has an army of nearly 1 million men, Austin.
Oh, yeah.
A million.
Well, you made a comment.
They're waiting for Trump's 5,000 Marines to walk into another trap.
I want to add on to this. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Marines are going to give them hell regardless, but that's something we don't even need to be involved
with. We don't need another Alamo.
They don't need to do this. First off, clarify, I don't have any, I'm not an Iran sympathizer. I'm not an Israel sympathizer. I'm a make America actually really great again person, and I don't want it to get in another conflict. So let me clarify that. Secondly, what he's discussing, if you guys don't understand this, they have a decentralized military, meaning they have numerous branches of commanders and basically generals that operate on their own operations. They don't have like one central individual where if you wipe him out, the military starts to break down.
Decentralized military.
They're decentralized. So it doesn't matter who or what basically, you know, platoons or squads they knock out. They just have all these other ones that can still operate independently. This is the biggest issue from a strategy standpoint the United States is going to operate into, is because no matter what they take out, all the military act independently, so forth. They're their own platoons. It's from a strategy standpoint, it's brilliant because they knew this was going to happen. The issue that nobody wants to address is the fact that when you shut down these waterways and you shut down all this commerce, it's going to have ripples effect across the entire United States.
But they know that. Remember this is 2030, Agenda 2030.
Yep, I was telling somebody the other day, and they were going back and forth. We were discussing, having a discussion, a good discussion. I said, do you not think the boys that breathe free air, the banker boys, didn't anticipate when they started a conflict with Iran that Iran was going to shut down the strait?
It's all planned, pre-planned.
They knew it was going to happen. It's the most open strategy you can possibly even think of. That's the first
thing. They told them they were going to do it.
They said they were going to do it. You attack us, we're putting mines in the strait. We're only going to let boats through, basically, with
our permission.
Permission. Mm. Everybody's going to get torpedo bombed. Okay, we're going to attack you. Almost like they wanted to have a precipitating factor to A, start another conflict with Lebanon. This whole topic with Lebanon is going to completely and totally just dismiss. Nobody's talking about it. There's over 1 million civilians fully displaced out of Beirut, Lebanon now.
A lot of people.
Now, Israel's come out and they said, well, we need to basically have the southern part of Lebanon. It's ours now. Because Hezbollah was allegedly there that allegedly launched a missile at some point in time that nobody can prove.
Greater Israel program.
That's where the entire premise was about this. Iran wasn't just the target on this. They wanted to take over Lebanon, and they've been carpet bombing all the civilian areas in Lebanon now. Watch the real videos on it. Watch the real news on it. This is the entire reason why nothing about Lebanon's even gotten brought up in this entire conflict on the mainstream media. There's all these moving factors, and this is why you got to look at
the movies. And you know, this is why we always bring the spiritual component into this show. Because if you don't understand that portion of it on who really runs the planet, none of this makes any sense. When you realize this Luciferian, Sabbatean, Kabbalah, Satan group runs the planet, runs the money supply, runs the media, runs Hollywood, runs everything, ran Jeffrey Epstein.
There you go.
Okay, we got to just stop it for a second. Hit the brakes and stop and look. This whole thing is about that. They control everything, including Agenda 2030. Don't you remember what Klaus Schwab gesagt, what he said? By 2030, you'll know nothing and you'll be happy. Remember that? They weren't joking with that whack bag. He was running the World Economic Forum. He was the one who was pulling the strings with the central banks. Now the United States Treasury came out last year and said the United States is fiscally insolvent, that the U.S. is bankrupt. Nobody even reported on it. And now it's making drudge. And you're thinking to yourself, well, why are they talking about this now? Because they want to restructure everything. Remember what they said? I'm going to read you this. Leo Holman wrote this. It's very good. He says, and also listen really closely to the words he used. This is brilliant. As the war drags on, all nations will eventually board the bandwagon until everyone is talking about the new normal. Yep. 2 weeks to flatten the fuel curve.
Oh, very nice. Short-term pain for long-term gain. How many times have I said that? 100 times now in mainstream media?
Okay. You remember,
2 weeks.
You remember
that? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Great tie-in.
Remember that?
Yep.
2 weeks to flatten the fuel curve. Remember how that became the hive mind for the MK Ultra masses in 2020? The globalists are preparing another round of the hive mind as we speak. Trump is again being trapped into doing their bidding. He's not being trapped into doing anything. He was basically told before he ever came into office he would do their bidding. And here's what we have looked forward to with the IEA and other gatekeepers who are looking at this manufactured crisis and salivating over the prospects for triggering measures that lead to greater control of humanity. Remember, never let a good crisis go to waste. That's what Kissinger used to say. Energy-motivated lockdowns, including tracking and movement through phone apps that will eventually connect to the biometric digital ID. Exactly what your cop said. Here, these are all the things that we're hitting at every intersection now with cameras. That means, I'm going to say this very, very clearly, all right? It doesn't matter if you don't think the police are watching. They're watching everything now because of the cameras and all the intersections. And this is a little bitty Polk County.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, this isn't any major city where we're at.
So if you think you're going to jump up on the highway and go do a bunch of high-speed maneuvers, it ain't going to happen without somebody seeing you. It doesn't matter what you think you're doing or what you don't think you're doing. They're going to spot you, and if they have to, they'll find a way to track you with the cameras and spot what they could do now. They do it in England, and they do it all over the place. You go through a toll road, you go through the toll booth. If you go through it too fast, they know you're speeding. Are you with me? If it takes 10 minutes at the speed limit to go through and it takes you 7 minutes, you weren't doing the speed limit. Now, let me finish this. Limits on freedom of movement will be buttressed with crackdowns, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press. Israel just came out with one of their top people the other day and said, we have to readjust the First Amendment in America. We have to take away freedom of speech. I'm paraphrasing what he said. That's what he said. Rationing of energy uses, which we already had in 73. Severe inflation and destruction of the U.S. petrodollar. We may have the inflation. They're doing everything they can to maintain the petrodollar, to go to a digital currency with petrodollar. People be working from home. It's just exactly what happened with COVID. Planes will be grounded. Much higher food prices lead to panic buying. Remember the toilet paper? Food rationing in some parts of the world. The lab-grown meat factories in the U.S. and Israel, along with the globalist bug processing farms selling us cricket meat, will suddenly find opportunities in new markets, shifting more governments and corporate services from person to person online. Likely return of highly controllable electric cars, which often and have temporarily fallen out of favor under Trump, along with renewed emphasis on public transit. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but public transit will.
Now, here's what they're going to do, because I talked to a buddy of mine the other day in tech with the cars. What they're doing now is they're trying to get the cost of these cars down. They're making these electric cars
coming out of China
so cheap. Out of China.
20 grand.
15, 20 grand. And I mean, they're pieces of crap. I mean, they're trash, dude. I was talking to a guy, man. He's like, the quality control on these things. He's like, think about the stuff you get from China.
Bring duct tape to hold the fenders on.
He goes, here's why. This is another strategy. He said, and I thought about it. And he's right, because I'd already thought about this. He goes, how do you get people to go to EVs? They lost the curve on it, right? Mm-hmm. People just ditched them. I'm not losing $80,000, $90,000 depreciation, $100,000
EV. Stop fuel production.
You stop fuel production, you push fuel up to 10, 12 bucks a gallon. You can't, how are people going to drive a truck that gets 20 miles a gallon that costs $450 to fill it up every week?
A few weeks ago, I was in Paris. You know, I had a rental car. And I was told, basically, that I had to have a special sticker for 150 bucks or whatever it was to drive the car into Paris. It had to get a certain amount of fuel mileage, or I couldn't bring it to downtown Paris.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't tell you.
You didn't tell me that.
And so I called up the dog from Avis. I called Avis up. I said, what are you taking?
It's a rental car.
It's a rental car. I'm not responsible for your fuel sticker? Consumption, your sticker. And so I gave him the sticker on. I said, that's not allowed in Paris. You can't bring that one in.
The car wasn't allowed.
It had a big thing on the front windshield with a number 8 on it.
It was just a BMW. What is rental car?
It was just an SUV. And I remember I called the guy up. Oh, don't worry. They won't ticket you because they'll know it's a rental car. So I called the hotel up. You know, they tell me, well, those laws are rule, but we have an underground parking garage where the police can't get in. So they probably aren't going to see it.
What?
Oh, yeah, this is Paris. Of course, it's like the...
But, hey, let's bring in 10 million migrants to sleep on the sidewalk.
Well, no, I told you, they had the whole under that one overpass, there were literally 1,000 migrant tents.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with pallets, they could poop and they have wash it out underneath their tents.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, here's what he said, final thing. Leo Holman said this. Limit automobile access to major roads in large cities.
There you go.
They just did it in Paris. Okay, they do it in London, too, using a number plate rotation scheme enforced by license plate reader technology. You just said it. Already installed in more than 6,000 communities nationwide in the United States.
Yep. Saw it. They were not talking to them.
Taken together, it sounds like a win for the globalists who informed us during COVID that was a plan for us to own nothing and to be happy. He's quoting me now, and Klaus Schwab. Is it a mere coincidence that the side effects of Trump's war with Iran are the exact same goals of the UN Agenda 2030 Sustainable Development? Is it also coincidental that the exact same trends found traction among Trump's first term, and that Trump himself has promoted the concept of 15-minute cities, rebranding them as freedom cities? Then it's asked the question, do we really know who Trump is? I'll tell you who Trump is. He was bought and paid for by Wilbur Ross with Rothschild Inc. in 1989 when Trump was bankrupt. And he was bought and paid for by Jeffrey Epstein, who probably has Trump now listed 5,000 times in the Epstein files. No telling what Trump was involved in with that. The lockdowns and limits on energy use are already starting to show up in the other countries, providing clues as to what is coming in the West if the momentum doesn't change soon and Trump's unprovoked war of choice against Iran. Sudden economic hardship, food riots, period. Yes, Donald Trump and America. You know, it's so funny because I sent this to the lady who was the attorney the other day. I sent her this new article, too. She hasn't responded to this one because she was all pro about, you know, this Iranian war. And I told you guys the other day, I know she has two children. What if they both got drafted and both died?
It's horrible.
Suddenly, this is not okay anymore. Suddenly, this has become a nightmare out of hell. You know, I lost my wife, you know, 4 years ago. And I tell you what, when you lose somebody in your family that's an absolute necessity for your family, you don't realize what it does and how it fractures the other parts of the family and the community that's involved with all this stuff. And when you see things like this happening and the draft coming up again and all the rest of this stuff, is it really about the Iran war or is it about limiting population growth? Is it about taking what's left of the alpha male population and sending them over there in a sandbox to die? I know a lot of soldiers that are unbelievably angry about this. They said, we don't want to do this. We don't want to do this. This is not something. They weren't doing anything to us.
Well, see,
years ago, we were watching this National Geographic thing.
Yeah.
And they were on a hunt. It wasn't National Geographic. It was something else. They were hunting polar bear.
Yeah.
Okay? And there was this polar bear laying on the ice about 1,000 yards away.
Yeah, he was like an ice sheet, like out in the water.
And he was like sleeping. He was laying out, he sprawled out, taking a nap. And some guy, I think it was around Lapua.
338 Lapua. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. I was intrigued because they were building up the hunt. And they're going through the woods and they're doing all this stuff. And they're making this big deal. They go, we spotted him. I'm like,
he's floating down on an iceberg.
He's literally on an ice peninsula out in the water, like 1,000 meters out.
No, and the guy gets out of Lapua and kills him while he's sleeping.
He pulled out that rifle. It's really nice, .338 Lapua.
I mean, it's a nice rifle. I looked at you and I said, "There's no sport in this."
No, you had a big old glass piece on it, and so I'm just expecting like they first see it, you're like, "Okay," and then look at this shot. I'm like, God, he's 1,000 meters out.
He's taking a nap.
I mean, he's got him in the loophole. And I mean, it's like he's a spot. I mean, if you've ever shot 1,000 meters out, it's a shot. And the bear's sleeping. Pass out. Snoring. Drooling on himself. All of a sudden, he takes a .338 Lapua right in the ribs, right through the lungs. Boom.
And he walks
he rolls over. He stands up. There's nothing to happen. He stands up. He's looking around. I mean, he's leaking all over the ice. And I don't mean to be graphic. And then finally, he walks a little bit and falls over. The guys are like, yeah, we got him. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, there wasn't much sport in that. Kind of like going and doing airstrikes on civilian houses and leveling entire cities because, you know, allegedly there was somebody out there. What sport is this?
Well, that's the same thing with Gaza.
No.
Nobody's fired. Nobody. You go into a school and you machine gun all the women and all the children because it's okay.
Israel's sending in full military to occupy southern Lebanon now with ground troops. Full military now because, well, Hezbollah may have been there. They said they're hiding underground. Didn't we hear this crap for 2 years with Hamas? Hamas is in these buildings using civilian decoys, so we have to level the entire city. Now, of course, what I told you was going to happen 4 weeks ago. I said this was going to happen. Israel minister calls for full annexation of southern Lebanon. Right there. Told you guys it was going to happen.
This is Reuters.
This
is controlled by Rothschild.
Yeah. Taking over. They said the new Israeli border must start at Latania. And they're going through now, and they're basically demoing everything. They're demoing the roads. They're demoing the streets. They're demoing everything. Taking everything out now. Because they said, oh, look at this. Blowing out bridges. This is our new border now. We've now deemed it so. But hey, don't forget, we're doing this for, Iran. It's a short-term pain for the long-term gain, guys. 2 weeks to flatten the oil's curve. That was well said when you said that.
We now have reports of the U.S. government's planning stepped into surveillance by making Plantar's Maven AI program its primary tool to track civilians and increase the kill chain of the United States. Mm-hmm. Plantar is perhaps the most evil company in the world today, but it is far from alone. There's an entire army of private sector corporations looking to cash in on the desire of governments to digitally control all human behavior. Plantar is just as best known of the bunch that are engaging in public-private partnerships to exercise what's left of the human freedom on the planet. Maybe that's why he's running around talking about the Antichrist. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, and this is the one thing, because I've had a lot of people ask me in the last couple weeks, what's the law stuff everybody can do? A, first off, always make sure you have proper defensive tactics, weapon systems, whatever you need.
And food. At least three months of food.
This is so, I mean, I keep my bucket in my shop here as a backup. Not as a prop, it's full of food. The organic food buckets. If you want MREs, get MREs. I have some MREs too at the office.
They taste bad. This stuff tastes great.
This stuff tastes actually good. It's organic. Because here's the thing. Remember this. In history, throughout history, this has been a guaranteed every single time. Food is always used as a control module.
As a weapon. Yep.
As a weapon. Mm-hmm. It's control. Because what they do is they run the food prices up. Then after the food prices become so high, they run food shortages. And then they control everybody through food. You can't go here unless you get food here. You can't go here. You can't get this done unless you go here for food. And they control the entire narrative on it. Why do you think they're building this entire control grid? So the best thing you can do is maintain your independence as much as you can from certain things. Don't rely on the supermarkets for a 2 to 3 day food. I know most of my friends now, everybody's got food stacked up or extra food bars or food cans or food MREs with food buckets. Be diverse. I don't care. Do something. But don't live where you got to go to Publix every 2 or 3 days or Walmart every 2 or 3 days because your pantry's out of food. That's not how you want to operate because that's how a lot of people operate. Set yourself apart from it because if something goes down, something goes weird, if there's a grid attack or something, if they do a false flow, whatever it may be, you can speculate all you want. The last thing you want to be doing is fighting with people in Walmart over canned green beans. That's the last place you want to be, or having to go to a food camp to try to get food rations from, you know, the government that's here to protect you. What did Reagan say was one of the most dangerous phrases in human history?
The government's here to help you.
We're from the government. We're here to help you. He wasn't wrong about that. 2 weeks to flatten the oil curve. It's short-term pain for long-term gain. I am so nauseated with hearing that statement.
But think about what they did, though. The beta test they did with COVID.
Yeah.
It was a beta test.
To get people conditioned to it.
Now, you listen to me, friends. We sat here and we just, Austin and I pitched a biatch fit.
I was mad.
I mean, we were mad.
And locally.
Maybe you said a biatch fit.
Now, stop it. We're talking about this night. nightmare that's going on around us. We have a real problem right now with people wanting to be compliant with whatever the government says. And it's still exactly happening. Right. And I saw it with my attorney friend the other day. And she's all excited that we're in Iran. And yeah. I told her, I said, what are you doing? I said, this is not okay. Oh, no, no. Trump's the greatest president in the history of my life. My IRA and my 401k is at an all-time high. And I'm like, the country is fiscally bankrupt. We're at war. Straits of Hormuz are being closed. And you're worried about your retirement money. You may not even be here to use it.
Well, that's why they had to push the silver and gold back down temporarily. It won't be down forever. It can't.
No, it can't.
If you look at the
market. Well, no, China just pulled a whole bunch of physical off the market, 700 tons, I think.
Did they really?
Yeah.
I think I saw that article. You sent it to me over here.
And that's,
yeah, right here. China pulls silver from global markets to meet surging demand.
And maybe 7,000 tons.
This whole manipulatory 790 tons. The world's biggest buyer pulled over 700.
And they pulled out 470 tons in February, and yet silver went down in price. Why? Because they shorted it.
Because JP Morgan. I went into detail yesterday about JP Morgan, how they've been fined repeatedly for manipulating the metals markets. Remember, the reason why silver pulled back right now is because they shorted the paper markets, and they pulled all their paper markets out and went into oil. That's why oil went up. Everything goes up and down in certain sectors. One goes up, one goes down. They don't want people to have any trust in metals. They had to do this. Everybody realized real quickly when you couldn't get silver or gold. And you, by the way, when you start seeing where the market's running right now on it, it's just silver's a day. Where's silver at? Silver is $69.70. Go buy an ounce of silver somewhere for $70 right now. Tell me how that works out for you. Doesn't exist. You ain't buying an ounce of silver for $70.
I was in a shop the other day, and you can't buy it for $70. I was there Sunday.
You can't.
And he said basically that, you know, sales are through the roof of this.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, now be careful now who you sell your silver to, because a lot of these doggone pawn shops, they don't want to invest it into this price or gold this price. They may not give you the spot value of it. Be real careful with that. If you're going to sell it to somebody, sell it to a reputable dealer who'll give you the value of the
I wouldn't sell nothing right now. You know exactly what they're doing with the markets on it. I'm not giving you financial advice, but right now they're manipulating the heck out of the silver and gold market.
Well, they're saying that they're telling you the U.S. dollar is done and the United States is fiscally bankrupt, that we owe, like, what was it? You'd be like a person who made $50,000 a year is owing $1.5 million.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's possible.
It's
chapter 7.
And that's not even, that even covered the derivatives market. And the crazy part about this is that when you look at it, it's like I told you before, when you sell money to a person at interest and you don't print the interest. And does that make sense? If you give somebody $1 million of currency with their picture on it, it's worth $1 million because you're backing it, and you charge them 7.2% interest, that means in 10 years that money now is going to, you're going to owe another $1 million in interest, and you don't print it, it can't be paid back. And that's what they've done for 100 years. It doesn't exist. Read the book, Billions for the Debts for the People, Billions for the Bankers. It's a little thing by Shelton Emery. It's a great little book.
Really good book.
It literally takes 30 minutes to read. And the thing about it is, it goes into detail on that. If you don't print the interest, and the interest becomes debt, all it does is pile on itself until you have $30-40 trillion in
debt.
The
only way it works, you have to take on more debt.
The only way it works is what Hitler did in the 30s.
Oh, yeah.
is make it debt-free.
Yeah.
Print debt-free currency. That's what he did. Oh, God, he hamstrung the whole system when he did that, because they were all so mad at him. They decided to make sure Germany was going to be destroyed, that there was no way that he was going to do that. That was the last chance we had as a globe, as a planet, to rid ourselves from the Kabbalah synagogue of Satan and the debt usury that comes with money magic. That's what this is.
Well, he took the interest out. Mm-hmm. The interest is the teeth of the bankers. That's how they keep everybody controlled.
Because because you can't pay it back because it's never printed.
Well, and then they took it a step further. They decided we're going to get into real usury, and then they started doing what was called college loans, student loans.
Fractional reserve banking.
Then what they started doing is
derivatives.
Taking kids at the age of 18 and taking them and giving them $40, $50, $60, $80, $100,000 loans.
And making their parents sign on it.
Making their parents sign on it and charging them 6, 7, 8, 9% interest.
No bankruptcy.
If you don't default on it, then it goes to like 29% with fees and taxes and all kinds of crap. So the money starts doubling and tripling itself over a period of years. And the bankers were so slick with it, they said, you know what? We can't get enough free air. We can't get enough. We got to take all the air because we want it because of our noses and we want to breathe it all. We're going to make sure you can't file bankruptcy on your student loans ever.
That was under George Bush.
Ever. Hmm? Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter if you get an accident. Doesn't matter if you drop out of college. Doesn't matter if you can't get a good job. Doesn't matter. You can't bankrupt it. You will be formally in debt to us for the rest of your life for a paper.
Indentured servant.
It's indentured servitude. That's what it was. They just rounded it and made it a different
thing.
And
now they have millions upon millions of students like that now. Paying.
There's, what, $1.2 trillion in student loan debt? $1.3 trillion?
By the way, I want to cover this story. It's a little different here. Mystery of five missing scientists sends chills across America. Now, these are guys that are rocket scientists. These are NASA engineers. These are nuclear engineers. There are all kinds of people here, and they've just suddenly disappeared, kind of like you saw in Atlas Shrugged.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not doing Ayn Rand here today. We're not going there. But the point was, I'm telling you, if a scientist wakes up and says, wait a minute, we're not really spinning at 1,000 miles an hour on this planet. And it's a top scientist. Or he sees a nebula cloud, you know, a million light years away. He goes, wait a minute, something's wrong. This whole thing that I'm looking through with this telescope seems to be fake. Something's not right here. Oh, it looks almost like we're in a digital matrix. Something's, and if they have national or international preeminence, or if they say, wait a minute, what's the real truth about nuclear weapons? We've got some questions here to ask about this because something doesn't seem right. Or like Sir Isaac Newton, the Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan from hell scientist who had all kinds of weird, crazy stuff. They wouldn't even let you see his papers. So I was talking about the law of gravity. When really we're kind of in an electromagnetic field. I mean, Einstein almost drove himself mad trying to figure out gravity because of what Isaac Newton to come up with. And so we start to realize that a lot of the stuff often that we've been told, pretty much everything, 90% is a lie. And then they put podcasters on, Austin, who will give you 90% truth, and then they continue to promote the 10% lies. And you kind of ask yourself a question, who's real out there?
That's why they had to get rid of Charlie Kirk.
That's right. Charlie Kirk was real. And here's the problem that we have. Here's the caveat. And they're talking about Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ, and they're talking about the third temple, and they're talking about Israel being in the end times, the Scofield Reference Bible, and Theodore Herschel, and all the stuff that we've talked about, Samuel Untermeyer, and we go into detail on who really runs the planet, who's the person behind the curtain pulling the levers, what really is 2030, who is Klaus Schwab, and they start talking about the synagogue of Satan, and they're probably pretty legit. But the reality is, if they don't talk about those things, which are so pivotal in our life today and in the future of the entire planet, you got to ask yourself a question. Who's controlling them? And I mentioned the other day, there's one major guy out there. His dad was CIA. And it's 90% real and 10% fake.
I'm going to quote this again because this is probably one of the best quotes in existence as far as that she ever said. I don't agree with everything she did with Ayn Rand, but this is always one of the quotes.
I know one you're going
to
say.
This goes right back to what I'm talking about with ICE out of control, with local law enforcement out of control. It says the only power any government has is the power. Give me camera four. It gives the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. Kind of like what they've been doing now. Oh my gosh, I need to get out of the country. I don't want to basically get, you know, deported. Oh, you're trying to leave the country because you don't want to get deported. We're arresting you and deporting you anyways. Oh, by the way, we've changed the speed limit from 45 to 30 here now, and now we're putting a cop there to make sure every person comes around the corner gets a 15 over ticket so they can pay fees. You begin to make everybody a criminal. Oh, you went through a red light at a certain time now. We've got your tag. We're sending you a ticket. Oh, you turned right on red. The camera didn't appear that you stopped a complete stop when
you crossed
stop.
The line.
Yeah, which, by the way, that happened to a friend of mine.
Happened to my daughter.
Four tickets in a row. They put up a red light camera. No declaration of when it went up. Never been there before. Put it up suddenly and made it active immediately. And if you come and turn right, not run the light, but you come up and you turn right, if you go over the white line before the camera sees you come to a full stop, they send you a $120 citation in the mail. She got four of them back to back to back. To put the camera up, she goes to work every day. All of a sudden, she gets one in the mail, another one in the mail, another one in the mail, another one in the mail. Well, with $500 in fine, she calls them up and say, well, you can take it to court, but you got to pay us, attorneys, to take care of it. Or you just pay the fines. There's no points. She ended up paying it all. And I said, this is what they do. When they don't have enough criminals, you make them. You make it illegal to do anything, including breathe air, including turn right on red without stopping at an imaginary white line.
You remember, it was 20 years ago, at least 20 years ago, probably longer than that now. We were in Europe with you. I think you were 10, so it would be about 28 years
ago. I know exactly
what
you're talking about.
Okay? And we're in the middle of England. I mean, we're out in the country in England, and I got on the wrong road, the wrong interstate, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. And there's a median, grass. I turned around.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm talking
no traffic.
There's no traffic. There are no structures as far as I can see.
We're lost. We're out of nowhere. I remember specifically.
And it was not a toll road.
No.
And I'm and All of a sudden, I get home, boom, ticket in the mail.
Yeah.
You made a legal U-turn on the
And it's us. You see us in the car turning.
That was over 20 years ago. Imagine the technology they have now. It's unreal what they've done.
Well, and this is what they, and then what they do is, like you said, they continue to try to dumb everybody down. That's why I'm so adamantly opposed, diametrically opposed against Big Pharma. There's a lot of things on the market that may be used for a specific reason, pharmaceuticals. I'm okay with that. But what they've done now to the younger generation, this ties into the article that I talked about the other day. This girl says, the interview, the defender, 29-year-old Danielle Gansky, detailed her heroin experience being a psychiatric drug user since age seven. Seven, they put her on Ritalin. By 20, she was taking 14 different psychotropic drugs. This pissed me off, by the way. Excuse my language on this. The fact you're putting these young children on these drugs, I talked about it the other day in detail, because I've watched kids I know, doctors try to put them on, and all the parents need to do is change their doggone diet. That's it. And stop letting them sit around and watch an iPad 8 hours a day and drool on themselves while they're watching YouTube Kids and all the perverted filth that's on that crap, including Netflix. Look at what you're putting in. And he made a great, dad made a great comment yesterday about the pastor. You got two wolves that are always going at it all the time in your mind. One, you say good wolf, good wolf, however you want to put it. The wolf wins whichever wolf you feed the most. You got the wolf that's bad, and all you want to do is look at stuff online you shouldn't at. You want to watch garbage films. You want to watch a bunch of porn. You want to watch a bunch of negativity. You're going to feed that bad wolf. And what you think about, you will become. Good wolf, you want to focus on positive. You want to focus on good things. You want to focus on, you know, solutions to tasks. This is the problem that I have with the pharmaceutical drugs. They don't look at anything about doing things positive. It's all, I don't feel good today. Oh, cool. Here's Paxil. Here's Xanax. Oh, you're so down and depressed from those now. We're going to give you Adderall to wake you back up. Well, that's getting you too tweaky. We're going to give you another antidepressant to calm you back down. Sure enough, you're on 14 different drugs.
I've seen 25 is what I've seen.
This is why I tell everybody, look at different nutraceuticals. You know, 5-HTP. This is an incredible product that we have, 5-HTP controlled release. There's a reason why we have these articles on here. We talked about it in detail last week on what it does for the brain and cognitive functioning. This is why we have the B complex as well. B vitamins are crucial for the brain.
Omega 3.
You've got to have omega 3 fats and B vitamins. This is why I have them on the product list. This is why I have them on the best sellers. You can't sit there and go, I don't know why I don't feel good. I don't know why I have brain fog, but I'm going to continue to eat my, you know, Cheerios every morning with my ultra processed milk and eat my Doritos and my ultra processed dinner from Taco Bell. And I don't understand why I'm depressed all the time. And all I do is stare at CNN all day. What you put in your body, you will become. What you put in, you get out. You put in really, really crappy fuel in a car, you never change the oil, you don't take care of it, you're going to get negative results out of that car. It's just the law. It's just the way it is. There is no getting around it. So that's why I tell everybody, try to focus on the positive. Today's show, we cover some stuff that are a little bit negative, but what can you do to make things better? Focus on positive outcomes, focus on positive goals, and keep your supplements stocked up to keep your body and your mind running top tier.
Here's something, a little bit of a warning. Friendship fraud, warnings of rise and insidious scam targeting of older people.
No, yeah,
fraudsters exploit isolation and search for human contact to often devastating effect. These are the steps you can avoid them. As you have gotten older, retirement has left you with more time on your hands, loneliness in many cases, especially if your spouse has died. Luckily, you found a friend through one of the online monitoring groups you're in, and a close bond has blossomed over your common interest in cars. Hey, you need to go ahead and you need to read this article. This is really important. One other thing I see all the time, and I see it right now with a friend of mine. You get a guy who's in a relationship who's really saved his money up, and he has a health problem like cancer, and he's dying, and someone wants to poach his wife.
Yep. It's sad. Don't get mad at me. It happened. I've watched it.
And all of a sudden, a friend shows up that you haven't seen in 20 or 30 years, or somebody else shows up online. Oh, I'll help you. I'll do this. And he builds a rapport with the wife so he could step in when you die. I'm sorry, guys. This happens all the time. And so be careful of friendship fraud, because a lot of people are out there for one reason only, because they want to take what you've got and take advantage of you. Always remember that. Be careful. Always make sure you know who they are, and make sure you video chat with them first so you know who you're talking to, period.
Especially online stuff, because it happens all the time. Always news stories that come up all the time. You know, elderly guy basically goes to meet up with some young girl or some whatever on a basically dating site. And the whole thing's fake based on their boyfriend robs. That happens all the time down here. Be cautious of that stuff, guys. And here's the thing, and I learned this a long time ago. Don't be afraid or embarrassed to get a secondary opinion from your friends.
That's
your
right.
Close friends. If you're talking to somebody online, you're going to do a business deal. Get counsel. Get counsel. Ask somebody, hey, what do you think about this? This is something I think I'm going to invest in, or this is a car I'm going to buy, or this is somebody I'm looking at dating. Get their opinion on it. Get an outside, independent, unbiased source. Somebody you trust. Not some clown.
99% of the time, if something looks too good to be true, it ain't true.
There's always flaws in everything. There's always going to be problems with certain things. That's just a part of life. So, but when you start seeing something or seeing somebody or seeing anything, it seems to be this perfect situation and there's not a single problem with it. Like he said, it's too good to be true. Everything's perfect. Everything's dialed in exactly the way you want it to be. Probably need to question it.
One of the favorite things they do is they tell you, oh, I've had a medical emergency. I have to have help paying this bill.
Yeah.
And you're like, and you're there, you've talked to him for 6 months on the phone, and you think, okay, how much you need? Oh, here's right here. One case, TSB customer lost $4,000 after befriending someone on Instagram who said they needed urgent help with medical bills.
Yeah, don't, if you don't know somebody, first off, don't talk to anybody about money online, ever, period. No, don't. If you have a conversation about money and investment, talk to somebody in person.
And another one in their late 60s spent 4 years talking to somebody. That's called the long scam, by the way. Talking to a scammer who said they were trying to flee an abusive family, and they made 60 payments to them, thousands and thousands of dollars. This happens all the time. They start talking about your Bitcoin. They start talking about your money. They start talking about
gold or silver.
Absolutely, it's a fake.
Don't talk.
And if they won't video chat you,
do not
talk to them.
Don't talk. In general, just talk in person.
Talked to a security agent one time at the airport. She said every single day she has guys standing there waiting for these planes to come in from overseas, and no one's ever on the plane. She said very rarely do they ever have a girl who's actually coming to see them.
But on a positive note, purple stick cans, they are all en route. I'll change this to pre-order here shortly. Next couple days, they will be shipping. So if you guys want to order them and get ahead of the curve, you could do so.
You think that can's going to outdo these boxes eventually?
I don't know. Might be. Maybe. The way it's moving.
I love the boxes. I love these because
they're good for travel. Yeah. Like going to St. Louis. I don't want to carry a can with me. I do not check in bags. Everything's carry on me. I will not fly if I have to check in. But these are in. So there's going to be a couple day delay. It's a pre-order. So we'll be getting them in probably the end of the week, beginning of next week. They're on the pallet already right now. We got the first batch, and we have another big batch coming in 4 weeks. So if you want to grab them while they're coming in, grab them, pre-order them. We'll ship them right out to you as soon as they get here.
But they're not here right now, so.
You'll know they're here when I put it on the table and I pull a scoop out of it and I put it in my shaker of my amazing chocolate Fit Food that I did not finish a drink yet.
Hey, I love you guys. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Get involved with your church, your local church, not an online church, not a church. Don't give these guys money that are online pastors. Don't do it. Support your local
church. Support local areas.
Support the local church.
Yep.
It's the church that's going to give you a funeral for you and your family, who's going to pray with you, who's going to come to your house, and come visit you while you're in the hospital. Those are the people you support,
Amen.
Not some person you'll never see. Hey, I love you guys. Jesus is the answer for everything. I appreciate you. Thanks for your support. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good evening, my friends. This show, tomorrow as always, stay tuned. We got more stuff for you guys. Have a good evening.